Good morning. I'd like to take a brief moment to introduce Shane Hall. He is the family life minister at Blue River Church of Christ. I'm sure I get that title correct. At the Blue River Church of Christ in Lee's Summit. Prior to that, he was in Oak Grove for just a brief little bit, and Harrisonville, where he preached 10 years, is that right? About 10 years in Harrisonville. We asked Shane that he would mind speaking to us, just kind of help break up some of the members that are here. So, Shane, podium's yours. Thanks.
I appreciate that introduction. It is good to be with you this morning, and it just so happened to be on Dustin's birthday. Well, you can that was purely an accident, I assure you. I've enjoyed the time that I've got to spend with some of the members of this congregation. Our tapestry weaves as we go through life and ministry together. We've worked in LTC together. We've worked in Bible camp together, and we've even done a few other things together that have brought our congregations together. And I'm very appreciative of that. And I've always been blessed, and my family have always been blessed by that. So it would be a disservice if I didn't mention a little bit about Bible camp going forward. We used to be involved with the Little Blue Bible Camp for years in Independence, and I was a director on the board of the director there for a long time, and was a director out there for, I think, 6 consecutive years, and had a wonderful time out there. There are some really great people that are at that camp, but I believe it was 2013 was the first year that we decided to start something new and go on a great adventure together. And the first year we had the Narrow Way Bible Camp. It wasn't even called that, and it was consisted of a bunch of tents around Dustin's Pond. And that was our first Bible camp with Narrow Way. And it from that moment. And Dustin Krasser was with us from that time, and a lot of people in this congregation did a lot and has done a lot of great work with that effort. And so here we are in this will be our third year at Camp Imprint. It's a place we rent out there in Warsaw, Missouri, and we all really like that venue, and it's served our purpose well over the years, and we're about to outgrow it, and so we're ready for that problem, I guess. Am I on here? I don't know if I turned myself on. There we go. Now we're on. So I really appreciate our ability to work together, both Blue River and Warrensburg, and those efforts. Really been a wonderful time. So I appreciate that. Today I wanted to talk to you a little bit about a passion of mine. And that passion is very simply the gospel of Jesus Christ. And any opportunity I have in order to stand before a group of people and talk about the good news, the euangelion of Jesus the Christ, it's a wonderful opportunity. I'm thankful to be able to be here this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about being drawn out. And I know some of you have been drawn out. You've been drawn out of pain. You've been drawn out of tragedy. You've been drawn out of sorrow. You've been drawn out of addiction. Or maybe you're just waiting to be drawn out of those things. Now, life can get difficult. Life can be a thing that drags us down. Life can be something that really kind of puts a foot on our head when we are down and doesn't want to let us up. The last thing we need in the church is for more of that to happen. We need to lift one another up, give each other an opportunity to get a breath. And so as we're here this morning, we're going to talk about being drawn out. We're going to talk about getting a breath to live our lives the best we can for Jesus the Christ. We're going to start in Exodus with a few stories that you know pretty well. Exodus chapter 1 and 2. I'm reminded of a young lady. You don't learn her name until chapter 6, I believe, of Exodus. Her name was Jochebed. And Jochebed was worried, much like we are so much of the time. We're worried. And her worry was a legitimate one, just like a lot of your worries are legitimate. for somebody to come and tell you, well, you know, you should stop worrying. That's the worst thing we can do for people. Jochebed's worry was a legitimate one because, you see, all the males in the land of Egypt were going to be killed. The ruler of Egypt didn't want any competition. They didn't want any problems with any leaders rising up among the people of Israel, among God's people. They didn't want that problem, so the instruction was to kill them. Well, Jochebed, when she had a child, she noticed it was a beautiful child, and that they'd come searching for him first, and so she sought to hide him for as long as she could. She hid him for a few months. But she knew after a while, as good-looking a child as he was, and knowing that he was going to be a force among his people, a leader, she knew she had to do something different. She knew she had to reach out in faith, and with tears in her eyes and pain in her heart, she creates a basket, if you will, one big enough for a child. And she puts the child inside this basket, took time making it, and you can only imagine, you know the story, you can only imagine her taking that basket with her son in it and laying it in the water, thinking to herself, oh, yeah, I should wait till tomorrow. The river's running a little fast today. Maybe I should work a little harder on this basket. I could have taken more time to put more pitch on the outside to make sure it didn't leak. Maybe there's some way I can hide him just for a little bit longer so I can keep him for myself. I don't want to get rid of him. I don't want to send him down the river. So she puts him among the reeds. Moses was his name. Well, Moses' sister, she stands from afar off, probably from the instruction from her mother, just to see what would happen with the lad, right? What's going to happen to him? Well, lo and behold, the daughter of Pharaoh comes along and she notices this child in this basket and she draws him out of the water. Notice the words. Moses is drawn out. You know what the name Moses means? It means drawn out. Moses is drawn out of the water by none other than one of Pharaoh's children. Pharaoh's daughter. Oh, and Miriam, Moses' sister, she rushes up immediately and says, hey, I have an idea. Why don't you get one of the Hebrew mothers to care for this child? And, well, that's a great idea. You can see God's providence working in all of this. That's a great idea. So she finds and takes Moses to his mother she's able to raise him up in the nurture and admonition of the one true God of Israel. Marvelous story. He was drawn out of that river. Well, did you know the rest of Moses' life is all about a story of being drawn out? And the rest of all of human history is a story about being drawn out of sin. Now we could go back deeper in time and talk about Adam and Eve and how sin entered the world. And from that moment in time, man needed saving. See, they had it good there in the garden. God created everything that they needed there. And it's easy to be hard on Adam and Eve, but I don't know that I would have done anything differently. The bottom line is that man had it good, friends, and we messed it up. We had it good, and we messed it up. And it was up to our Creator to fix it. And then we have this thing called the scheme of redemption. And what a scheme it was. Nothing that we could have ever thought of in our own minds. And the story picks up with dear Moses, just a baby, being drawn out. Moses grows up, and seeing the oppression of God's people, they were under vicious, awful taskmasters, making them work day in, day out, hardly a break. Little to eat, little to drink. Moses sees that oppression, starts bothering him. And then he sees one of his own people being treated poorly. And what does he do? He has to take vengeance. He can't take it any longer because Moses was a meek man, but he was also human. He just cannot stand to watch the injustice anymore. And so he steps out and he deals with it. He kills one of the Egyptians. And because of that, he has to run. He has to flee. And it's in the wilderness that he meets the God that his mother so fondly told him about. Can you imagine the teaching that she must have given him, those years that she was able to raise him up? The God that she told him about, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's learning about this God at her feet, and then he finally gets to meet him in the wilderness as he watches a bush that's on fire that won't burn up. That's right. He's sitting there tending a flock. He looks over to his left or right and sees a bush on fire that won't burn up. And he approaches the bush. A voice comes from it. Says, "Remove your shoes, because the ground you're standing on is holy." It gives me chills. The ground you're standing on is holy, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob proceeds to tell him, "I hear the cries of my people, and it's time that they are drawn out. It's time that they are delivered. I can't stand to hear their pain anymore. Vengeance is mine, and it's time." And so Moses, after a bit of convincing, he goes in and he helps extract the people of God from Egyptian bondage. And God draws them out, but not without pain, not without struggle, not without torment. Mostly on the part of the Egyptians. You remember the plagues, right? There were 10 of them. Beginning with water being turned to blood. How awful that must have been. And God said, "Well, let's follow that up with frogs." How terrible. But then, there's a recurring phrase that says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart over and over and over again. And it goes from frogs. That wasn't enough, alright. How about gnats? Imagine so many gnats I've had just a few around my ear and it just drives me nuts. And then flies, bringing all the disease that they did. And then their cattle started dying. And then the people began to get boils. And then hail fell from the sky and destroyed their crops. So, could it get any worse? And it says again, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He decides in the midst of this that he's going to let the people of Israel go. But then he watches them leave and he says, "I changed my mind." So the pain was tough, but it wasn't tough enough. See, Pharaoh was going to be an instrument of God's will. After the hail, if you didn't think it would destroy all, if you don't know anything about crops, ask Jake what hail does to crops and how it will utterly destroy a field of grain if it comes down hard enough. Well, the hail came and went, didn't change anybody's mind, so God says, "Well, I'll send some locusts to finish it off." Send some locusts. But then again, minds were changed, and so finally God says, "Well, now all your firstborn are going to die. Unless you take the blood of a lamb and you put it across your doorpost." And all the Israelites, they did so. Their children were spared, their firstborn were spared, but the Egyptians' children were not. Pharaoh's child died. And in the midst of that, and crying out on his knees, as broken as a man can be, he says, "Go, fine. Hit the road, I'm done with you. Go and do it." But after they leave, he thinks, "Well, who's going to do all this work?" So he goes after him again. And you know the rest of the story. As God is drawing the people out, remember our theme. God is drawing the people out. He leads them to a sea
through a body of water. How will we cross? God leads them across.
And then the Egyptians are swallowed up in the pursuit. Friends, those who are evil, they will often be swallowed up in the pursuit. I'm reminded, as I think about this drawing out, and I was thinking about this lesson, I think about the Chilean miners. Do you remember that story in 2010? That 33 men were buried alive. A collapse happened in Chile. 33 men were buried alive. Do you remember how long they were down there? 69 days they were in the earth. 69 days. It was actually 17 days before they even found out whether they were alive or not. If you remember that one of them, as they were drilling down to the site, one of the miners attached a note that says, "We're here and we're doing well in the shelter." Of course, it was not in English. The 33 of us. And so, of course, as the probe comes back to the top with that note on it, you can just imagine, and I think a movie was done about that. I don't know if I ever saw the movie. As the note comes back to the surface, they're thinking, wonderful, we've got people to save. We've got a job to do, and they spent the next many, many days, weeks, trying to figure out how to get down to him. Plan A, Plan B, Plan C. How are we going to get down to save these people? And finally they did. And did they bring them all up at once? One at a time. Painstakingly. One at a time they sent a probe down and brought one up. About a half hour to 45 minutes later, the probe showed up again. Brought another one up. They said that it was required that those who were of soundest mind and body get in the probe first to be brought to the surface, because they didn't want anybody losing it, right? And that there would be some problems with exposure once they reached the surface. And so they needed the men with the most sound body and minds to go first. Well, if I'm down there and I'm one of the guys with the least sound mind, I'm going to be fighting to get in that probe to get to the top. I can guarantee you that. But there were men down there who kept them patient. Can you imagine what it must have felt like for those men as they reached the surface? Being down there for 69 days. Not knowing whether they'd get out at all, and finally they reach the surface, they see sunlight. The feeling of being drawn out. Of being drawn out. Friends, if we can begin to see the light of our God, if we can look into His Word, the perfect law of liberty, and experience the light of our God, the feeling of drawing that being drawn out will overwhelm you, and it will change your life. I think of, moving on in time, I think of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. You remember them? They were in the second carrying away. They were in the Babylonian captivity, if you will. Nebuchadnezzar, a man who had some ego problems, decided that they were to bow down to an image. Well, if you've heard the old sermon and the 3 points, they didn't bow, they didn't bend, and they didn't what? They didn't burn. That's right. They didn't bow, they didn't bend, and they didn't burn. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. A lot of us don't know their original Hebrew names. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's probably what they would prefer to have been called. But we remember Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Or if you watch VeggieTales, I think one of them's named Benny. Something like that, right? That's the VeggieTales version. But you remember he said that they were threatened with this fiery furnace. and just made Nebuchadnezzar matter. Took them, ramped up the flames to the point that it was overheated and actually killed the guys that were trying to throw the three Hebrew youths into the fire. And they fell into the fire bound, and then Nebuchadnezzar starts to go, wait a minute here. Didn't they just throw those guys in the fire? Because I'm looking in there and I see them all walking around. All three, no? Four of them. There are four people, men, walking around in there. One looks like the son of the gods. That's probably who it was. Except for it wasn't the gods, it was the God. The one true God. And then you know what happens after that? Nebuchadnezzar praises him because he saw somebody be drawn out of the flames. Psalm chapter 18, verse 16. Psalm 18, verse 16, if you have your Bibles with you, we'll read that together. Being drawn out is something that King David knew quite well. It wasn't something that he was foreign to him. Again, Psalm 18, not 85. That's where I was. And all right, Psalm 18, beginning in verse 15. Says, then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. Raise your hand if you like that phrase. That's powerful, isn't it? I can do a lot with my nostrils, but not that. He sent from on high, he took me, and watch it, he drew me out of many waters. Who is capable of doing such a thing? Who is powerful enough to draw out of many waters? It says, he rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. Have you ever felt like that? That your enemies, the things that are stacked up against you, they just feel too much? Well, our God can deliver us. They confronted me daily in my calamity, but the Lord was my pursuit. That's verse 18. The Lord was my pursuit. Now, I remember pretty vaguely, but there are a lot of it that's very etched in my mind. We were with our family in Galveston, Texas, and we were playing in the waters there in the surf and having just a really good time. I don't remember how old we were. I don't know, I remember 10 or 11 or 12 or maybe even younger, probably younger than that, I guess. I know that the memory will be etched in Mom and Dad's mind quite a lot better than mine. But Dustin and I, you guys know Dustin? Yeah. Unfortunately? No. Appreciate him. But we were playing in the surf waters there, and one thing leads to another. You know, there were signs there that told us that there was an undertow, and that it could be dangerous if you got too close to this long rock pier that was there. Well, we were playing, we didn't think anything about it, and all of a sudden, he gets swept out a little bit, loses his footing, can't touch, he's swimming. So I reach out to get him, I'm not that much older or stronger, and so I lose my footing. And there we are, at the whim of the waves, being pushed to and fro, back and forth, and scared to death, swallowing water, thinking that you're going under, you're coming up, you're going under, you're coming up. And we couldn't see Mom and Dad at that time. I'm sure they were frantically trying to get to us, but there happened to be a guard on that pier. And he jumped off of the pier and rescued us, pulled the both of us out of that surf. And boy, thankful to this day for that guy. Never knew his name. I do know that he gashed his leg on a rock pretty bad on his way in to draw us out. Felt good to be drawn out. And sometimes life is like those waves. You lose your footing. You want to put them back down.
You're trying desperately to find the floor. You don't want to find the bottom. You don't care if it's a rock or coral or sand or whatever it is. You don't care what it is. You just want to find your footing, and you can't because waves and life just keep pushing you back. And it hurts. You need somebody to draw you out. Did you know that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son?
Whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life.
I was seeking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, singing if you know it, seeking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
So loved the world. You know that is a verse of grace. We've read that verse. We've quoted it before. If you're sitting in a young people's Bible class and you ask them, hey, do you know any verses by heart? These young people would probably quote John 3:16 right off the bat, wouldn't they? But you know that there is so much more to that verse. That is a verse of grace. For God, the greatest being, so loved the greatest thing. The world, that's the greatest number. That He gave, that's the greatest of generosities. His only Son, the greatest gift. That whosoever believes, that's the greatest thought. The greatest virtue. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, the greatest tragedy, but have everlasting life again. The greatest of gifts that could ever be given. John 3:16 is a verse of grace because a great God provided it. For our final thought, I want to look at Ephesians chapter 3, if you have your Bibles with you. Ephesians 3, chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. We're going to try to put a handle on this so that we can take it home with us. What does it mean for me that Moses was drawn out? What does it mean? Why did God have that written down? What's the purpose of the story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Again, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Well, we might back up here a little bit. Verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. I need that daily. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints. Watch it. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You may feel that you are deeper than those Chilean miners. 2,400 feet, they were underground. There are many times in your life that you feel even deeper than that, that you just feel like you can't get up out of the doldrums and the pain, the tragedy, the confusion, the addiction, whatever it may be. But I want you to read one word here very carefully. The depth. No matter how deep you are, God can reach down. He can reach down and draw you out. Today we offer the gospel invitation. Talk about grace. I'm so glad God invited me to the great wedding feast of His Son.
Son. If you're a part of His church, you are His bride. If you are a part of His church, you are a part of His family. You are a part of the vine, able to bear fruit in His name. What a marvelous blessing that is. If you are not a child of God this morning, there's no reason to put it off. You're just waiting to be drawn out. Maybe you didn't know it, but you're waiting to be drawn out. God loves you more than you can know. We watched a movie last night. I've been dreading watching it. And some of you may not want to see the movie. That's fine. And it's not the Bible, but it's called The Shack. I don't know if you ever heard of it or not. Some interesting things, interesting thoughts came to my mind. But one thing, whether you approve or disapprove of the movie, it doesn't matter, because you know what? There was one theme, and the main theme is that God loves you more than you can ever know. He loves the person sitting next to you more than you could ever know. Do you deserve to be drawn out? No. Do you deserve to be rescued? No. Neither did David. Neither did those three Hebrew youths. Neither did Moses or the people of Israel. Deserve ain't got nothing to do with it, if I'm allowed to use ain't. God loves you. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. If you have a need, please come while we stand and sing.